Welcome to the TKO
from Lights Out Productions.
From the website of 1320wils.com, I'm Brad.
And I'm his brother Jason. With us, as always, is Honest Rob.
What's up, party people?
All right, today on the TKO, we're going to start out talking about UFC 131, review that event. Then we're going to do a little review of the Strikeforce Overeem versus Verdum event that just happened last weekend. Then we're going to preview UFC Live Marquardt versus Story that's coming up this weekend.
A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. To start out anyway, UFC 131 review, obviously the big fight in that one was Junior Dos Santos versus Shane Carwin. Brad, it didn't really look as close as it did on paper, did it?
Yeah, and you know, I'm not saying, I'm just throwing it out there that I picked Junior Dos Santos.
But I think I was the only one that didn't pick him on this show. So.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing was, Shane Carwin, really, I mean, no way around it, he just kind of looked bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
he really did.
I mean, he got just wasted in that first round, mm-hmm. and I mean, just never really got up to speed after that. You know, if this is the new 2.0, I think I'd go back to the 1.0 if I was in. Yeah,
I really expected this to be more of a close fight. I really thought Shane would, he didn't look to have that knockout power, you know? He landed a couple shots anyway, and it just didn't seem to really faze Junior much.
Yeah. I mean, really, the whole fight just was completely one-sided, and mm-hmm. I don't think anyone really expected that. Wasn't much Shane Carwin could get as much as getting Junior Dos Santos on the ground, which I think was part of his strategy, mm-hmm. But couldn't really get that going. I think he got him down maybe once or twice, but Junior Dos Santos popped right back up. And to me, really showed that he is the number one contender for the belt right now.
Oh, I think it's been pretty clear for a while that he deserves a title shot. I think this definitely shored it up, though. He's going to be making a title run here. Yeah. And Cain Velasquez better watch out, because Junior Dos Santos is a monster.
Yeah, and it's looking like November is going to be the scheduled month for that bout between him and Cain Velasquez. And definitely interested to see how that's going to go, you know, because you have someone like Velasquez who has this, you know, wrestling capability, which is, to me, one of the real reasons why he is the champion right now. But can he keep Junior Dos Santos down? Can he get him down and keep him down, which no one has really been able to do yet? And supposedly, Dos Santos has this great ground game for training with Black House down in Brazil, you mm-hmm. know, that no one has been able to see yet, you know, because obviously if your hands are your tools, you don't want to stay, you know, staying as long as you can. So it seems like a pretty good fight to me.
Kane is going to have to test that ground game, because you're not going to want to stand with Junior.
No, not at all. And like, you know, Kane isn't weak at all, but if you're looking at his striking, the way it went with Brock Lesnar, that's not going to happen. Brock Lesnar, one, is not a great striker. Two, does not take punches well. Mm-hmm. And I think Dos Santos showed with some of the hits he took from Carwin, he can take a punch. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He definitely has a good chin. So I'm definitely excited for this one. I think it's going to be a real good fight.
Yeah, that should be a good one to look forward to. The next one down the card we had for UFC 131 was Kenny Florian versus Diego Nunez. Kenny Florian comes away with the win via unanimous decision. The third judge on this whole card was kind of off of everybody else. In the last fight, you know, the third judge had it scored 30-26, where everyone else had it 30-27. And this one, he had 30-27, where the other two had it 29-28. Uh-huh. And in every fight, he was just a little off.
Yeah.
But Kenny Florian definitely wasn't really in any danger of losing this fight, I don't think. It was 29-28, in my opinion, but it came away with a pretty convincing win, I thought.
Yeah, I thought Diego Nunez looked good.
Yeah.
But, you know, the only thing I have a problem with is Kenny Florian has this one win, and now they're talking about him versus Jose Aldo, and I'm like, you have one win in the weight class. Like, how does that in any way entitle you to a title shot right now?
Yeah, I don't get it. Kenny Florian is one of those classic underperformers, you know. He does all right in the bouts he's supposed to win, and then he gets up against a big name opponent and just blows it.
And he got dropped twice in that fight, where there's a possibility that Diego could have ended it. I believe it was the first and the very last punch in the third round. I mean, he got dropped. Mm-hmm. I mean, so to me, it wasn't a dominating win that was like, okay, we have to give this guy a title shot now against Jose Aldo.
I mean, Kenny Florian definitely won the fight, in my opinion, but it wasn't real impressive.
Yeah.
It was like the Rampage win over Matt Hamill, you know? I mean, he clearly won, but it wasn't anything that was real impressive.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you say, wow.
You weren't going to, you know, call your friend during the fight and going, are you watching this
now?
You know, because it just was not that impressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever, I guess. If Kenny Florian, whatever. I mean, I don't have anything against Kenny Florian.
They got to throw somebody up against Jose Aldo,
yeah,
though.
I guess. That whole kind of division is just kind of, you know, the other ones are also stacked. Uh-huh. And it's like, this one's just bare.
Yeah. Like, Jose Aldo has just cleared it out. No one else is stepping up to do anything about it.
Who would want to step up? I guess maybe Kenny Florian's the only one stupid enough to want to fight him. But
next fight down the card we had was a middleweight bout. It was Mark Munoz beating Damian Maia. I was really hoping my boy Maia would come through in this one. I was hoping he could get some ground game in there, slap on a submission. It did not happen.
I got to be honest, though, and I'm not a huge Damian Maia fan, but his striking looked much better.
Much better than it had.
I mean, by leaps and bounds, really.
Not good enough to take this fight, but definitely better than it was.
In the first round, I almost thought he was going to take the fight with the way his strike. I mean, Mark Munoz was, I think, shocked at how good his hands were. I mean, it didn't seem like the same Damian Maia that you knew before.
Yeah,
it really didn't seem like a whole new fighter, you know. So if he can kind of keep on upping his boxing and, you know, stay with the jiu-jitsu that's made him popular, I mean, he really could make a run moving forward, because he really did look good. You know?
He looked good in the fight, but it's hard to look good in a loss. But, I mean, he pulled it off. Showing off the striking, that he had made that much progress, I mean, that's a pretty promising thing for a fighter. You always want to see him progress and do a little better than they had in the previous fight. So.
And Munoz, in general, looked pretty good, too. So I was really impressed with him. Kind of excited to see who he's going to fight next. You know, he kind of, was a little underwhelming at first, but now seems to be kind of finding that groove. And, you know, really doing well. I mean,
the thing with Munoz is he's sort of underwhelming in the cage, in my opinion. But everybody they put in front of him, he's been beating. And they keep upping the talent that he's facing. You know, he's just climbing the ladder slowly, slowly, slowly. But he's beating everybody.
They're bringing him along correctly. Yeah, you know, that's the way you should. You know, maybe Kenny Florian should take notes. Not saying, I'm just saying.
The next fight down the card actually got Fight of the Night honors, which was kind of a surprise to most people, I think, because it was Dave Herman versus John Olav Einemo.
Right.
And if you've never heard of those two guys, you're not alone.
No.
One of them was supposed to fight Shane Carwin on the card.
Right, it was Einemo.
Yeah. And Shane Carwin obviously got bumped up because of the Brock Lesnar thing, and so they put Dave Herman in. Dave Herman gets the win via TKO in round two and came away with Fight of the Night. It was actually a pretty good fight.
It was really back and forth. Yeah. I mean, you talk about two guys that are just in there trying to knock each other's heads off.
These two guys wanted a contract, that's for sure. Yeah. These guys, they were swinging for the fences.
It was exciting to see. Yeah. You know, by the time the fight ended, I was kind of ready for it to be done because they were both just so tired that there really wasn't much left. But, man, that especially that first round, man, I mean, it was back. You didn't know who was going to win.
You just can't fight at that level for three rounds. Yeah. You really can't, no matter how hard you train.
I say you give them both a contract from that fight.
They definitely deserve Fight of the Night on that night. But, Dave Herman comes away with the win via TKO. So, you know, look for him doing some things maybe in that heavyweight division coming up. And the last fight I think we're going to talk about in depth anyway was Donald Cerrone versus Wagner Rocha. Donald Cerrone gets the win via unanimous decision. Again, the third judge, 30-26. The other two, 30-27.
But wow.
Yeah. Donald Cerrone is a serious contender, if you ask me.
And that other guy's leg, I don't know how it's still connected. I mean, that was vicious.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been a fan of Donald Cerrone. I'm not like a huge fan, but I think he's a good fighter, you know. And, you know, he definitely increased my opinion on him. Through that fight. I mean, he's like I said, he's always looked good, but it's been more of a ground game type thing. And this kept it on the feet the entire time. And, I mean, just really looked awesome with the Muay Thai that he showed.
And Donald Cerrone is another fighter that every time you see him, he looks a little better than the last time. So, I mean, and he already looks pretty awesome. So, I mean, if he can keep progressing, the sky's the limit for that kid.
Yeah, I'd like to see where he goes in the near future here.
Definitely.
Definitely look good.
The other two fights we're going to mention just real quick. Knockout of the night was Sam Stout beating Eve Edwards via knockout in the first round.
Vicious.
Yeah, vicious knockout on that one. And then submission of the night went to Chris Weidman beating Jesse Bonkfeld by a guillotine choke in the first round. So that was good to see Weidman get a win, too.
I was pretty impressed. Wrong on my Bonkfeld prediction. Dang it.
It's okay. I think everybody on this show predicted at least one or two wrong. So, you know, it all evens out in the end.
Yes.
Moving on to Strikeforce Overeem versus Verdum. That happened on June 18th.
And I'm still covering my nose from the stink of that.
Yeah, pretty underwhelming card. The main event fight was Alistair Overeem versus Fabricio Verdum.
And I don't even know if you can call that a fight.
Yeah, Verdum needs to just retire.
Yeah, I mean, all it was for those of you who didn't see it was Verdum laying on his back, basically. He would kind of take a flop, basically. You know, him and Overeem would mix it up and he would, you know, get hit or something. and he would basically flop back on his back and hope that Overeem would jump on top of
him. Not just hope, literally beg Overeem.
Oh, he did. He put up the praise sign and was asking him during the fight to get on top of him for I mean, really? This is what you get paid for? Like, and this is the type of performance you give? I mean, this is the guy who beat, you know, Fedor. You know, this was the big, oh, he's the monster killer, blah, blah, blah. And that's the performance you get.
He's the monster flopper in this fight.
I mean, it was just, and to be completely honest, though, Overeem didn't even look all that good.
He didn't look great, no. He looked much better than Verdum, but yeah. The way Verdum looked, it wouldn't be that hard to do that.
I would have looked better than Verdum.
Yeah,
it was just, to me, it was a pitiful performance for
it
a
really
fighter
was.
To have.
Yeah, it was just bad.
He should be embarrassed to ever step in the ring again after that type of performance. I mean, it was just horrible.
And I was looking forward to that fight, too. I thought it was going to be a good one. But.
And here's the kicker. Verdum actually looked good in the first round when he was standing with him. It's not like he was getting wasted in the stand-up game.
Yeah.
He was landing just as good as shots as Overeem was. So why he just started flopping, I'll never understand.
And one of the judges had the gall to give Verdum a round.
Yeah, that. Wow.
It went 29-28 for one of the judges. I don't know how. I had a hard time finding a minute that Verdum won, let alone a whole round.
I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah.
So.
Next fight down the card was Josh Barnett versus Brett Rogers. That was the other one in the heavyweight tournament there.
Yeah.
Josh Barnett gets the win via submission arm triangle. Brett Rogers really just gave up on that arm triangle.
Yeah, he really did. He looked outclassed and, yeah.
Yeah, it was barely even locked in, and Brett Rogers wanted out.
he didn't even want to feel the pressure on that one. So I think it's back to the drawing board for the Grimm.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how much Josh Barnett really has left either. He's not a young guy, you know. So, but he's moving on in the tournament. So I guess you can't knock him too much, right?
Yeah, that's the good thing about the tournament setup, I guess. You know,
yeah.
I mean, every time you win, you get to fight a little better talent. You know, he's going to move on and fight Sergei Karatanov anyway. So
And Karatanov looked good in the
last
fight.
Yeah, he did.
So that should be a good one.
And then the other fight, obviously, is going to be Alistair Overeem versus Antonio Bigfoot Silva.
Right,
so
right.
Those will be the two semifinal fights in the heavyweight tournament coming up later on. And the next fight down this card anyway was Jorge Masvidal fighting KJ Nunes.
Uh-huh.
And Masvidal comes away with the win in that one via unanimous decision.
Looked good. I thought Nunes was going to win. I'm a huge fan of Nunes.
Yeah, I know, especially you were. I was a little high on Nunes, too, and I know you especially liked him, but he just didn't look very good.
No, he didn't look good at all, really. I mean, I guess maybe back to the drawing board for him, too. I know that he was a professional boxer. Maybe he's focusing too much on boxing because I mean, he just looked outclassed in every round and almost in every aspect too. I mean, Masvidal's striking even looked better, which you don't expect that
coming up against a boxer. Yeah, but I mean, it just looked like Nunes was outclassed in every aspect of the game. So he needs to seriously rework his MMA training, I think,
because
something's got to change for him if he wants to step forward at all.
Mm-hmm.
Another fight on the card was Daniel Cormier versus Jeff Monson. If you remember the old UFC guy, Jeff Monson, the Snowman, he gets beat pretty convincingly in this one.
Maybe he needs to hang it up.
I think he's 40, so he really needs to just give it up.
And Cormier, I mean, looked pretty good as far as his hands. I mean, he's an Olympic wrestler, so to see him kind of keep it on the feet and do good with the hands, I mean, shows a lot of promise for his future.
I think. Definitely. And last fight we're going to talk about from this card is Chad Griggs beat Valentin Overeem. That'd be Alistair Overeem's little brother. He just needs to stop, too.
Yeah. And Griggs, I mean, looks good, has looked good in the past couple fights. You know, he's the last one to beat Bobby Lashley, too. So, you know, he's got some pretty impressive wins, so I think they're going to throw some top-level talent at him coming up here.
Yeah,
so.
When you make another guy tap out due to strikes in the first round, I think you probably are ready for a step up in talent.
Definitely. So I'll be interested to see kind of like what he does coming up.
Yep, it'll be interesting to see where he goes from there. Moving on, we're going to preview UFC Live Marquardt versus Story that's going to be coming up Sunday, June 26th. Not usually UFC events on Sunday, but this one on Versus, I guess, is going to be a Sunday event. Obviously, the headline story is or headline fight is Nate Marquardt versus Rick Story. Nate Marquardt moving down a division to welterweight to try and fight there, which really surprised me because he was a big middleweight.
Yeah, he definitely was. So I can't even imagine what he's going to look like in this fight. Yeah. I mean, it's going to look like a two weight class difference almost, probably.
Yeah,
you know?
Rick Story isn't a huge welterweight. I mean, he's a little big for that class, but I can't even imagine how Marquardt is going to get to 170 when he looked so huge at 185.
Yeah, like that almost seems unhealthy. But, you know, so I'm excited to see what it's going to look like. I'm not a huge Nate Marquardt fan, but I think I'm going to have to go with him on this one just because I think the size is going to be too much for Story.
I think I'm going to go with Story in this one just because I think that weight cut is really going to affect Marquardt. And Rick Story has looked really, really good recently. So, Honest Rob, we're going to go to the stat track pick. Who do you got in this one?
All right. Thank you, Jason. I'm actually going to go with Rick Story based on Marquardt's kind of storied history in that he's taken some major losses in the past several fights. Right now, his four major losses were Okami, Chael Sonnen, Talis Latis, and Anderson Silva. He's definitely been an up and down fighter, as you guys were talking about. He's been a fighter that's changed weight classes. So I think I'm just going to go Story as far as being the more solid up and comer. Marquardt has had 43 matches. He's 31-10-2. So
that is quite a record.
Yeah,
game for a while.
It might be time for Marquardt to hang it up too.
Could be. And I mean, his big thing was facing Anderson Silva in that division. He was just never going to get past that.
Most people aren't.
A lot of people put up, I think, a better fight than he did. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like at this new weight, you know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
There, if he can make a run there.
Next fight down the card is one I'm actually really looking forward to. It's going to be Chet Congo versus Pat Barry.
Yeah, heavyweights. This should be a good one.
And Chet Congo, sort of, unless it's boxing, really doesn't look all that impressive. His ground game is almost non-existent.
Yeah.
And I seem to remember somebody, I don't remember exactly who, having a lot of leg kicks against him and doing well with those, which makes me pick Pat Barry in this fight. I think Pat Barry's going to pick him apart with those leg kicks.
Yeah, and Pat Barry's not going to try to take it to the ground. That's not his strength.
Yeah.
But his leg kicks are just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. So I think I'm going to have to go with Pat Barry on this one, too.
All right, so we got two for Pat Barry. Honest Rob, we're going to go to you for the stat track pick. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with Pat Barry also. Going along with you guys, of course, but same deal. Taking a look at Congo's stats. He does have that draw versus Travis Brown. He seems to win some of the smaller fights. He's beat Buentello. He also beat Anthony Hardonk, who had been kind of in and out of the UFC and Strikeforce. I don't know if anybody remembers him, but he's lost to Frank Mir, Cain Velasquez, and Heath Herring all in the past few years. So
it's kind of like when you put him up against top competition,
he's one of those
perform.
Type of fighters. Who just going by the stats. He only has taken one loss by knockout, one by submission, but it looks like if this is going to decision, he's definitely going to lose based on his stats.
All right. Now, I'm excited to see Pat Barry in this fight. Kind of always, if he doesn't win, at least he puts on an entertaining
fight. Yeah, he's definitely an entertaining guy in the cage, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes in the heavyweight division coming up in the near future here. Next fight we're going to talk about is Matt Brown, the Immortal, versus John Howard. We got the Immortal versus Doomsday here.
Right.
So something has to give, right?
I think I'm going to go with John Howard in this one. I've seen him a few times. He's been pretty impressive to me. Matt Brown is completely unimpressive. So just based on that, that's how I get my pick.
Yeah, basically, anytime I see Matt Brown in a fight, I pick the other guy. So I'm going to go with John Howard in this one. John Howard hasn't been overly impressive to me. He's been decent, but Matt Brown has just been so unimpressive.
How he's still in the UFC?
I don't know. 13-10 record on this kid. I don't know how that gets you a UFC contract, but he's got his fight against John Howard. So I guess we'll see. Honest Rob, what do you got for the stat track pick?
Just to make a mention about Matt Brown, then I'm going to get into Howard real quick. Brown is coming off three losses. Howard is coming off two. Brown, he's like we were talking about. He's out of 21 matches, he's 11-10. I mean, the guy's a significant amount of losses. Howard has less losses, of course. He's only got six losses. He's 14-6. Right now, when he finishes fights, regardless of whether he's on the losing or winning end, he's 4-2 by knockout, 6-1 by submission. But when it goes to decision, he's 4-3. So if this goes to decision, it could go either way. If not, I definitely see Howard coming away with a win.
Kind of stinker all the way around, the way I see it.
You're really not looking forward to that one, huh?
No, not really.
All right. Well, what I am looking forward to anyway is Matt Mitrione versus Christian Moorcraft. Mitrione coming in at 4-0, big heavyweight banging it out. I think I'm going to pick him in this fight just because he hasn't been defeated yet. Moorcraft is a big guy, though.
I guess lack of better options, I'm going to take Meathead on this one. Even though I'm not a huge fan of his. But
yeah, I know you really don't like him.
He looked pretty good last time, so I don't know. Maybe he'll surprise me.
He's another guy that looks a little better every time you see him. So, yeah. Honest Rob, what do you got for the stat track pick for us?
Well, there's not really much to say. Moorcraft is 7-1, and you know Mitrione's 4-0. So I mean, there's not really a whole lot to these guys. Moorcraft has only taken one loss to Stefan Struve. Other than that, they're both basically undefeated fighters. So I'm going to go with Mitrione, though, just my pick.
All right, so Mitrione all the way around. That's going to do it for us here on the TKO. I'm Brad.
This is Honest Rob with stats and analysis.
And I'm Jason. Everybody, remember to never leave it in the hands of the judges.